The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, America. Alex McFarland here. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network, and it is my great honor today to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve. He is not with us today, but I'm sitting in, and we have a great show. And it's a show that I'm pretty sure is going to tug at your heart, and I hope the Spirit of God will use this program to really move all of us to care about the plight of persecuted Christians around the world. And today we'll talk about the church and Christians under really very real threats, life and death threats in the Ukraine. You know, in Colossians 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "Remember my bonds." You know, there's a lot in the Bible about the persecution of God's people, certainly throughout the Old Testament. The nation of Israel, as they were on their way to the Promised Land, and God raised up the nation of Israel through which to send Jesus the Messiah. But Israel constantly found itself fighting for its life, whether it be the Philistines or the Canaanites or the Amalekites, what often the Old Testament would call the people of the lands, they would persecute Israel. And of course, like in the book of Esther, Haman, who was the Adolf Hitler of the Old Testament, tried to exterminate the Jewish people. And Jews and Christians throughout history have been under threat of persecution. Perhaps you've heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs, just one of the longest books continually in print in world history that talks about the martyrdom of so many believers in the early church. Well, regrettably, sadly, the martyrdom of Christians goes on to this day. In places like China, communist China, or certainly the Islamic Middle East or North Africa, or in Nigeria, that are intensely Islamic, to come out as a believer really can put a target on your back and be a death sentence. And I realize here in America, we have had the cultural tide against us to a degree in recent decades, but in parts of the world, and Ukraine being one of them, being a Christian can really, really put you at risk for persecution, if not execution. Well, to help us understand that more is Colby Barrett, and I think this is the first time that he and I will have conversed, but he is the producer of A Faith Under Siege. He's a filmmaker. He's a former U.S. Marine captain. He led infantry and scout sniper platoons across the Pacific Rim throughout the Middle East. He served our country honorably, and he's just got an amazing resume. But we're going to talk about the film Faith Under Siege and really what Christians, I think, need to know about what's going on in the Ukraine, and we can pray for the church there. But I'm very anxious to hear his journey and his backstory. He's a man that serves God and country. Colby Barrett, welcome.
Alex, thanks for having me on, and thanks for bringing prayer and attention to this really important issue that, frankly, isn't getting much attention in the press these days.
Well, you know, hey, allow me, if you would, to tell a brief story about 24 years ago. I went to Amsterdam. No, it was 25 years ago. The Billy Graham Ministry put on a big convention in Amsterdam, and there were evangelists from like 100 nations, right? And, you know, being a pampered American, I had been to Africa, and I saw some of the poverty that the Christians in like Zambia live in. But I got to ask you, were you at or do you remember Amsterdam 2000, this big evangelistic thing in the Netherlands? Were you there, Colby?
I was not there. I had kind of heard about some of the revivals there.
Well, so listen to this, folks, and it will be a good segue to talking about caring about persecuted Christians in the Ukraine. But you could either stay in a hotel, or it was much, much, much cheaper to stay at a place called Yarbers. And I didn't know what Yarbers was, but I really didn't have any money. So I paid a couple of $100 for 10 days at Yarbers. Well, Yarbers was a heavy equipment warehouse, and about half of it had a dirt floor. And there were literally 10,000 men on steel cots staying at Yarbers. Okay, so I get there, and there are 400 showers and 10,000 men, and there's like an hour-long line to get in a tiny shower. And let me just say, this pampered American was out of my comfort zone. And I walked and walked this huge long way, found my cot with my number, and there was a loaf of bread, a ginormous block of cheese, and several bottles of water. And you could go out and buy food at a restaurant if you could find one, but pretty much water, bread, and cheese, you know, for like a week. And I was thinking, oh boy, this is going to be a long week, but we're here. Anyway, long story short, as different men from around the world came in and found their cot, and a guy, and he kind of looked like the Maharishi. I mean, maybe he was from India, I'm not sure. He was literally dressed in burlap sacks. He saw his steel cot on a dirt floor with a loaf of bread and a block of cheese and half a dozen bottles of water. And he stared at it. Now I was watching this guy, and he fell down on his knees weeping. And he was like, thank you, Jesus. And he held this loaf of bread and looked at it like it was a jewel or something. He was like, thank you, oh Lord, thank you for this bounty. And I was very convicted. And I realized that we Americans, and we're blessed, and we don't have to beat ourselves up because God's been really good to us, but there are people in parts of the world that would just look with awe at all that we have as Americans, with food, indoor plumbing, fresh water on demand. Anyway, Colby Barrett, I want to hear about you, and you're helping raise awareness for Christians in the Ukraine. But I want to hear how God brought you to where you are with you're using your influence, your abilities to spread the gospel, but also help us maybe not only appreciate what we have in this country, but do things to help those in other countries.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. That's a perfect interview question here of how do we learn from other Christians that are in such different circumstances? And I think that's one of the things that I saw in Ukraine, especially closer to the front lines, as we got closer to where the Russian forces were trying to attack and invade. The Christians there, they're like the New Testament Christians, the first century Christians, right? You've got this small group of believers that are really trying to hold on to their faith and fighting against an empire that's kind of bent on their destruction. And the way they react to that is similar to what you talked about with seeing the gentleman pray for that bread. The way they react to that isn't around fear. It isn't around fleeing. They react with defiance, with resilience, but with love for each other, love for their neighbors, and an absolute dependence on God. That to me was it was like a faith boot camp going over there to see these Christians under just horrible circumstances where they're being hunted by Russian drones. If they're caught, they can be executed, they can be tortured, they could be forcibly deported. But instead of reacting with fear, They react with a grace that's just, it's almost immeasurable. And it was really indicting for me on my own faith, where it's so comfortable here in America that we're prone to rely on ourselves rather than relying on God. And over there, they are fully walking in the Spirit and relying on God. And so that was one of the things that I was unexpected when I went over there, but that was an absolute amazing result of that trip. And to answer your first question about how I got into this, I have no connection to Ukraine. I don't have a Ukrainian background. I've never been there before this trip, before this film project. I got a call last summer from a friend, and he asked me whether I wanted to go on an aid convoy to Ukraine. And my first answer was absolutely not. You know, right. we run a large farm. It was right in the middle of harvest. I've got four kids. There's a war going on there. I mean, I had the list of 50 different reasons why that made no sense. And so yeah, I told him no.
There's a lot of incentive not to go where a war is happening.
Right, exactly. And so that was my first answer. And then I went to bed that night and I prayed about it. And I really felt the Holy Spirit pulling me and saying, hey, learn more. And I said, okay, before I say hard no, let me at least do some research there. And that's where I found some stuff that shocked me. I feel like I'm the kind of person that follows the news. I like to know what's going on in world events. But what I found when I dug in a little bit, especially what was happening to Christians, was shocking to me. At that time, 47 pastors and priests had been murdered by the Russians in Ukraine. 630 churches had been shelled, looted, or destroyed by the Russians. And then in the Russian-occupied territories, thousands of churches have been seized and turned into government buildings or military barracks. And so this just assault on the Christian faith really surprised me, mostly because, you know, you hear that Russia is a Christian, majority Christian nation. Why would they be doing this to fellow Christians? And so I felt that calling not only to go deliver aid, but to go tell this story. And that's where, you know, I think God really uses your past chapters in your life for what he's calling you to do right now. And I look back, I'd never made a documentary film. And so A Faith Under Siege is my first project. But what I had done in my past, I'd been a CEO of a large corporation. I had led sniper and infantry platoons in the Marine Corps. I'd run convoys. Mm-hmm. So all the things that we were doing is really about building the right team and being able to execute safely in an area that wasn't very safe. And I've done that kind of stuff. So I've never done a documentary, but thankfully God brought in the right team members for that. We had an amazing film crew that was based in Ukraine with intense local knowledge, and then a really good post-production crew in New York. And then the third leg of that stool was the Ukraine Freedom Project, just an amazing nonprofit that's doing so much good there. And they had created really good relationships with these Christians that had gone through these terrible events and had gained their trust. So those three came together in a way that only God could have made that happen.
You know, we've got a break coming up in a little bit. And folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and we've got Colby Barrett. He's the force behind a new film called A Faith Under Siege. And we're going to drill down and talk about the war in the Ukraine dragging on now two years plus, but the state of the church. I want you to give your website. And is the film out? Is the film viewable now? Yep. Or yeah.
Yep. It's faithundersiege.com. And if you just search that, it'll come up in a variety of places. It's on YouTube for free. Okay. So if anybody wants to watch it, faithundersiege.com, pop that in, or just Google Faith Under Siege. It will come up. It's totally free. And I would encourage anybody to watch it. We also have a church screening kit on our website.
So if you want to ask that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all there. There's a prayer guide and other resources if people want to watch it as a group, which is what we think. You know, we kind of recommend that. Obviously, watch it any way you can, but it is sure. totally free and available.
Well, we're going to come back. This is A Disciple's View. Jeff Shreve is out today. Alex McFarland sitting in with our very special guest, Colby Barrett. Blessings to you. Stay tuned. A lot more to come after this brief break on the American Family Radio Network.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. We're going to resume our conversation with Colby Barrett here in just a second, but it's a great honor to be on. I want to thank Jeff Shreve for allowing me to do the show in his stead. I have the great privilege for 15 years plus. I'm part of a show called Exploring the Word, and Exploring the Word is heard 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, and in the time zone of your choice across the American Family Radio Network. Bert Harper and I, we teach through the Bible, but on Fridays, it's all questions all the hour. So we call it Fire Away Friday, and we'll be on this afternoon. And check out Exploring the Word if you would. Also, let me remind people two things. Please be in prayer for our youth camps. We just wrapped up the fifth of 7 youth camps. We have about 1,200 kids in 7 summer camps, and I give God the glory. So many young people have prayed to accept Christ and open their heart to the gospel this summer. And then we've got kids that have come to camp with us 3 and 4 summers, and they are learning biblical worldview, and we're challenging them to stand strong and be a leader no matter what field of endeavor they go into. So please pray for that. But one more thing, we do something for the adults, and it's a speaker series called Conversations That Matter. Now, August 21, so it's less than a month, we've got Charlie Kirk coming to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Myrtle Beach is a lot of theaters, a lot of, you know, tourism here. It's a great place to come. But we've had Gary Chapman, we've had Dinesh D'Souza, a number of events we've done, and people have come from literally all over America. And so August 21, we've got Charlie Kirk live in person. There will be open mic Q&A. So if you've ever wanted to hear Charlie Kirk, he's a great thinker. He's a friend. He and I have shared the stage a couple of times. Brilliant guy, loves the Lord. And then on September 14th, we've got Lauren Green, and we are doing a roundtable discussion September 14th on the state of the American church. And there will be, going to announce that there will be someone from the Trump White House there, from the faith board that I'm a part of. And so the Lauren Green event, September 14, we think it's going to be pretty exciting that the West Wing of the Trump White House will be represented there. And so go to my website, if you would, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. alexmcfarland.com/conversations. Well, I want to read a verse, Romans 12:5, speaking of the church. It says, "So in Christ we, though many, are one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Romans 12:5. And with that in mind, I welcome back Colby Barrett. Colby, the Bible says that all believers are one body, and each member belongs to each other. That being the case, the persecuted church in the Ukraine, it really is all of our business, isn't it, to know about this, to pray, but also to raise awareness and do what we can do, because they're not just distant. We're all part of the body of believers, aren't we?
Alex, that's my favorite verse when I talk about this issue of what's happening to Christians in Ukraine under Russian occupation. And there's a reason that I think Paul used the body analogy there, is partly because we all play different roles in the kingdom of heaven, right? So some of us are a hand, some of us are a foot, heart, all these different pieces. And so, but that body analogy, really, if you think about it, Ukraine is really far away. So maybe that's your pinky. Let's just go with that analogy.
Yes.
But what happens if your pinky, if you put it on a hot stove? You have, as a body, there's two reactions. The first is to scream out in pain, right? The next one is to pull away that pinky from the hot stove. And I think as Christians, that's what we need to be thinking about here. Not being indifferent when we see Christians suffering far away, but first to say, hey, let's scream out here. This isn't okay. And then pulling that finger away, is there anything we can do to help alleviate that suffering of a part of our body, not somebody else's body? This is our global body. And so I think that's really what I would say to Christians that are hearing about what's happening to Christians in Ukraine at the hands of the Russian forces that are coming in there. To say, first of all, I'm gonna pray about this. I'm gonna learn more, and then I may be called to do more beyond that. I was called to make this documentary, Faith Under Siege, which is about what's happening to Ukrainian Christians in the Russian-occupied territories. Other people may be called to donate to nonprofits. There's all kinds of different things that could come from those prayers. So I would, mm-hmm. on that, if people are wondering, you know, how can I learn more? What can I do? I would point them to our website, faithundersiege.com. And we have a step process. Step one is prayer. Here's all kinds of things that you can be praying for. And if you feel called, there's nonprofits that are bringing back abducted children. Over 19,000 children have been abducted by Russia, Ukrainian children. And there's nonprofits that are helping to bring them back. There's nonprofits that are helping churches there, rebuilding houses as well. Some amazing faith-based organizations doing so much good there. So I would say, you know, if this is on your heart, please pray for this situation, and please learn more about what you can do to help.
You got some coverage from our longtime friend and colleague, Todd Starnes, didn't you?
Yes, we did. I had a great discussion with Todd, and it was really a lot like this interview. I really love the longer form where you can kind of dive into some of these issues, because it's a complex issue on what's going over there. So, yeah, the discussion with Todd was amazing.
Yeah, he's great. Well, I guess I've probably known him, I don't know, 17, 18 years, great guy. And we've had him speak a number of times. And he's got obviously quite a platform. And, you know, the reason I bring that up, for one thing, congratulations that God is giving you some coverage and some platform. But Todd, I know Todd is very conscientious about what he covers. And this is, I think, a real endorsement and validation of what you've done with the documentary. But let me ask you this. So you went to the Ukraine. What was that like? I'm curious, like, where did you fly into? And yeah, tell us about your experience there.
So since the war, you can't fly into Ukraine. So the airspace, right, has been closed. There's so many drones and missiles coming in from Russia that it wouldn't be safe to fly directly in there. Both times I entered, I came in through Poland on aid convoys. So anywhere from 12 to 25 vehicles, depending on which. I've been there twice now. You go in through Poland. There's a long border crossing. Takes 4 or 5 hours to get through the border, especially with that much aid. All the vehicles have to be checked and those kind of things. And then we drove in. The first city we went to is Lviv in western Ukraine, and it is just a gorgeous Eastern European city. Cobblestone streets, beautiful churches, amazing architecture. And really, if you didn't know there was a war going on, you wouldn't know there was a war going on there. It's a gorgeous city with amazing, you know, dining and that kind of stuff. As you go closer, you get to Kyiv, which is a bigger city, much like about the size of Chicago, and that's the capital. And so that's where we usually bring most of our aid to. On the trip that where we filmed The Faith Under Siege, we then went up north to Kharkiv, which is very close to the Russian front lines, and then traveled 1,200 miles across the length of the front lines from Izyum to Zaporizhia all the way down to Kherson in the south, talking with Christians that had escaped from Russian-occupied territory or were in areas that had been taken over by the Russians, and then the Ukrainian army had pushed them out. And so all of these folks had lived under Russian occupation or escaped from that. We also talked to a few believers who had lost their families to Russian drone and missile attacks, and a couple fathers that are in the movie that lost their entire families when Russian drone and missiles hit the apartment building they were living in. So just heartbreaking stories that we heard over there.
Did you see active combat taking place?
You know, we were probably 10 miles or so from the front. So you could hear artillery going on. The cities we were in were often shelled before we got there. Sometimes when we were there was a lot of air raid alerts. One of the restaurants we ate at, we had left our receipt. So we had to call them a couple days later to get the receipt. And they had just been hit when it was an Iranian Shahed drone, which is a type of munition that Russia gets from Iran and then shoots into Ukraine. It had landed just a few feet away and blown out all their windows. So they were still regrouping from that when we called them. So we weren't on the front lines with the troops in the trenches, but we were kind of one step back. Unfortunately, the Russian push here is to kind of bring the war to the civilian population, not just fighting on the front, but trying to break their morale. And so there's somewhere between 500 and 700 drones and missiles launched most nights into Ukraine, and a lot of those go into civilian areas. So that's something that is really tough. A lot of the churches have to move underground into basements to worship, or break into much smaller groups. And so you'll see, you know, Ukraine in the 90s and 2000s was having revivals. Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, did a 39,000 person revival there in Lviv. But those days are over. Being able to gather in groups that large is not possible now. So all the Christian churches have kind of broken up into smaller groups, and a lot of them close to the front lines have to worship in basements.
Goodness. So let me ask you this. Do they have Bibles? Do churches meet like on Sunday, or are Christians kind of incognito, undercover, you know, for their lives?
I think there's a tale of two cities here. So in free Ukraine, religion is flourishing. Faith is flourishing. Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity, is really taking off. Since the Soviet Union collapsed, there was a real hunger in Ukraine for evangelical Christianity. And so a lot of missionaries came over from the States, a lot of missionaries from Texas and other parts of the U.S., and they set up a lot of missionary training schools, such that Ukraine is actually sending missionaries out to other post-Soviet republics, Kazakhstan, and even into Russia before the war. So it's been described, Ukraine's been described as the Bible Belt of Europe. Really a thriving faith atmosphere. Anywhere from 80 to 85% of Ukrainians are Christians. And so it's a really faith-based place. So when I went to church in Ukraine, it was fantastic. I felt like I was coming to my home church, other than the language. The songs sound the same. The worship looks the same. As you get closer to the front, it's not big churches. It's going to be a lot of small ones and a lot of times in basements. Now, if you go into the Russian-occupied portion, it's a totally different story. Most of the churches have been either destroyed or seized. If you want to hold a church service, some of the denominations have been banned outright by Russia. And then in 2016, there was a group of laws called the Yarovaya laws, which made it illegal to preach the gospel in Russia. Mm. And so, and that most of the prosecutions under those laws go towards Protestants and evangelicals. So if
because
you're in the Russian,
the Russian Orthodox, the state church really exactly. doesn't allow any competition.
That's right. If you want to be worship in a Christian church in Russia, they really want you to be in the Russian Orthodox Church, which is pretty much controlled by the Kremlin. Protestants, evangelicals are really persona non grata. And so, especially in the occupied territories, we talked to a guy that had just escaped. And we said, if you really wanted to do it by the whatever the rules are, what would you do? And he said, you have to register the building with the state. You have to register every single one of your congregants with the state. So they put you on a list. And then you can't hold a church service unless you have 30 people with Russian passports at the church service. And the reasoning I think that the Russians have there is that if we've got 30 people with Russian passports, at least one of them will be a spy for us, so we can keep track of what's going on. So in the occupied territories, they have not given up their faith, but they're meeting in secret. Now, this is where it gets really dangerous. We talked to a pastor who's one of his congregants held a Bible study in her home, and she was sentenced for 20 years in prison for terroristic activity by holding a Bible study in her home. So in Russian-occupied territories, very dangerous to be a Christian, and you're kind of choosing, hey, do I want to be in an open service with a bunch of spies, or am I going underground completely? In free Ukraine, thriving religious scene, and really the only thing that's different about worshiping in free Ukraine versus, you know, Amarillo, Texas, is that you might have to be in a bomb shelter, or there might be an air raid alert as you're trying to worship.
Hold that thought. Can you hang with us for one more segment, Colby?
Sure. Absolutely.
Good. FaithUnderSiege.com, spelled just like it sounds. That's the film. I urge you to watch it. FaithUnderSiege.com. More about Christianity in the Ukraine and the body of Christ for whom we need to pray when we come back after this. Alex McFarland saying, stay tuned. A brief break, and then we'll resume.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Further, AFA believes this ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on the earth, belongs to God, and AFA's role is that of a trusted manager.
thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, hello, everybody. Alex McFarland here. So honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve. And we're going to resume our conversation with Colby Barrett and talk about the Christians in the Ukraine. A little heads up, I've got a great summer going on, traveling, preaching all over the country. And this upcoming week, I'll be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina. I'll be there with J. Warner Wallace, and we're doing a 5 days on apologetics and biblical worldview. But I'm so excited. On August 2nd, I'll be at Cedar Falls Bible Conference, Cedar Falls, Iowa. And if you're in Iowa, you probably know the Cedar Falls Bible Conference is just this amazing event. It's been going on for a century. I mean, literally. And this will be the 104th annual Cedar Falls Bible Conference. And in years past, they've had my dear friend Erwin Lutzer and Josh McDowell and the late, great John MacArthur, people like that. Well, I'm so honored. I'll be on Saturday, August 2nd. I'll be speaking three times that day, 9:30, 11, and 7 p.m. So if you're in the Iowa area, we'd love to see you. Then I'll be in a church on Sunday morning. I believe the name of the church is Bethany Church there in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And so if you would, check out my schedule at alexmcfarland.com. Listen, we care about revival in America. We care about the gospel. And I mentioned the camps we're doing, that I am so encouraged. I am more encouraged than I've ever been to see the enthusiasm young people have for the gospel. Kids coming to Christ, kids wanting to truly know the Word of God, and kids wanting to get involved. And just like my friend here, Colby Barrett, heard the call of God to get way out of the comfort zone and go to the Ukraine and make this film that's raising awareness of the church. And, you know, I want to encourage you folks to care about and pray for the church all over the world. By the way, Colby, I've got three friends that have done extensive evangelism in China, and that they estimate at least 1 million people a month are getting born again, getting saved. And some think it's more like 1 million people a week are getting saved in China. But there's persecution. And I'm not going to give away any names or anything, but pastors or those that are active in evangelism in China, sometimes they're just gone one day. And so, folks, while we have our freedom in America and we have stability, prosperity, freedom, let's remember, no matter who we are, that if you're a born-again believer, life is about being involved in the Great Commission and being a steward and doing what we can do to influence others and really stand for the church. And Colby Barrett has done that. The film is Faith Under Siege. The website, and spelled just like it sounds, faithundersiege.com, which I encourage people to watch it. And please show it in your church. I mean, Colby, you mentioned a church event kind of program that you've got. What are the protocols if a group wanted to show this in church and you know, really make it kind of a church-wide event?
Alex, thanks for asking. The the best way to do that, if you get on our website, faithundersiege.com, there's a form you can fill out for a church screening, mm-hmm. and we'll get you all the information you need. The film, a lot of additional materials like prayer guides and small group discussion guides. And then I would throw this out there for anybody that wants to hear from any of the producers or executive producers that were involved in making this film. we're happy to Zoom in afterwards or attend, depending on, you know, whether we're in the area. But that's one of my favorite things to do. I'm actually doing this tonight. A church is screening the film, and then I'm going to Zoom in and answer questions and talk about what it was like to make the film. So it's really, this is our mission right now, mm-hmm. is to bring awareness towards this. And there's nothing more enjoyable than to Zoom into a church in rural Texas and talk yeah. about what we saw in Ukraine. I wanted to mention too, it's interesting you brought up China. I actually lived and worked there and went to church a few times there and saw just how repressive the Chinese government is towards Christians. And, you know, there's a real parallel towards what the Russian government's doing there too. These authoritarian regimes are very threatened by faith. Mm-hmm. That is one of the things that they live in fear of. And so anything they can do to destroy faith or to suppress it is something that's going to be first on their list. And that's why you see, as the Russians' army would come in, the Protestant and evangelical churches would be first. Their pastors, you know, caught, sometimes tortured, sometimes killed, sometimes forcibly deported. They'd move on to the Greek Catholic and Roman Catholic next, and then kind of just work their way down the list, because their goal really is, if they can suppress faith, they think they can control the people.
Yeah. Hey, let me take
control. No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And folks, what I'm about to say might sound a little out there, but I assure you this is absolutely true. Colby, I've got a friend, one of my closest friends in the ministry, was a missionary in Russia. Not mm-hmm. going to say where, but this is a man of unimpeachable integrity and as close as family. And he told me the story of a church in a part of Russia, one of the major, major cities. And they knew that they were being watched, but it was the Spirit of God was on this church. People were getting saved. Even they had former KGB agents getting saved. But many, many, many of the people were getting cancer, and it just seemed like an inordinately high amount of people at this church were getting some very severe cancers. And they actually met in a basement of a building. But what happened, long story short, the Russian government had some sort of device that they noticed people during worship were getting these intense headaches, but there was some sort of radiation device that Russia had put in the building. And lots of these Christians at this church, and there it was several of the ministers that spent a long time working, were getting tumors and cancers. And I know this sounds crazy, but I know two missionaries that were a part of this particular church. I would vouch all day long for their honesty and truthfulness. And I know this sounds weird, some radiation device giving cancer to Christians meeting to worship, but this is just the lengths to which Satan will go to try to obstruct the gospel. And so every one of us can pray. And I've got to ask you this, though, without getting into too much geopolitical content. Russia is huge. Russia is powerful. Russia has means. Russia is connected, as you alluded to, with the Middle East and China. Ukraine is tiny, very limited funds, although they did in the previous presidential administration, they got some financial aid from America. But I guess it is a bit of a puzzlement. How does this tiny nation fight 2 years against the behemoth Russia? And do you have any insights on where this ongoing war, I mean, where is this headed, Colby, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things I alluded to in earlier comments were, you know, it was like being with the first century Christians over there. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing faith journey. The other thing that really came out was it felt like if you could go back in time to the American Revolution, that's really what it felt like over there. You've got a smaller group that by all means should not even be in the fight. But you know, what was supposed to take 3 days for Russia to conquer Ukraine was then 3 weeks, and now it's more than 3 years. I think it's that same things that helped propel us to victory in the American Revolution against Great Britain was just a real commitment to our own freedom. They're fighting for their own freedom. They also, you know, as we did in the American Revolution, we had help from France. And so the Ukrainians have had help from the international community to help them stave off the Russian forces. I think the other thing, when you talk to frontline soldiers, what are they fighting for versus what are the Russian soldiers fighting for? So the Russian soldiers mostly sign up for big financial incentives. They get thousands of dollars, you know, 2 years worth of salary or whatever just for signing up. The Ukrainians aren't paid nearly as well, but they're fighting for their homes. They know if they lose territory, what that means for their family and friends. And so there's just a different level of fighting, of what they're fighting for. And I also think there's some spiritual stuff at play here too. The Ukrainians have really embraced faith in their struggle. They've established a chaplain corps. They have a holiday for chaplains now. They exempt pastors from service. There's a big push to get Bibles to the front. We actually worked with Christian Hickey, who's a missionary out there that's bringing Bibles to the front. So there's really a recognition of recognizing faith, and it's really flourishing, especially on the front lines. A lot of soldiers coming to faith through this war. So where it'll end up, I don't know. I'm a big fan of, you know, the good guys always win. It just takes a while. But, you know, anybody's guess on that. I do know that Russia is struggling right now. Their inflation rate is, you know, above 10%. They're running out of their sovereign wealth fund will run out by the end of this year. And they're running out of equipment very quickly in there. So it's kind of anybody's guess on what happens next there. But I usually vote. I push for the good guys on these kind of struggles. So
sure. What are two or three things? And by the way, folks, please share. This show is archived at AFR.net. And if what Colby Baird and I have been talking about really moves your heart with compassion, and I pray it will, you know, I want to make a challenge to you, but please share this show. And grown-ups, if you teach Sunday school, or maybe you're a youth leader or a parent, one of the things that I encourage parents to do is to raise your children, obviously, to know the Lord Jesus, personal faith in Christ, but then to understand that our life, and it's right there along with our family commitments, but we are committed to the church. Now, we're all a part. I hope you're a part of a local church, but then we're a part of the church global. And I think it's a wonderful thing that for kids growing up, they understand that we have the privilege, oh my goodness, the privilege of being a part of the Great Commission, that things we do, no matter. And I'm not just talking about being a minister. I'm just talking no matter what you do, whether you're in business or education or medicine or whatever career path you pursue, that you, if you're a believer, we have the privilege and the duty to be a part of the Great Commission. And part of that is to be conversant on what's going on in the church around the world, the good, the tragic, the things that we praise God for, and the things that we fervently pray about. So moms and dads, share this show, take a look at the film, and help your church and especially your children to know about the state of Christians there in the Ukraine, faith under siege. So Colby, we've only got a couple of minutes, but what are two or three things, some specific
prayer requests that you would put before us that we should pray about regarding the church in the Ukraine?
One of the individuals that's really been on my heart lately is a pastor named Oleg. I won't share his last name, but he's in Kherson. Okay. When the Russians came in and took over Kherson, he stayed. He was led by God to stay there with his flock. After the Russians were pushed out, it got very dangerous for him because the Russians are just on the other side of the river. He was seen by a drone operator, a Russian drone operator, holding an outside service. And the next day, that same area was bombed and his car destroyed. He's now on his sixth minivan of the war because the previous five have been destroyed by Russian drones. There's a real kind of almost a hunting of civilians in Kherson, especially those that are affiliated with the church. So I would say, pray.
Hey, we're almost out of time. Yeah. Colby, I'm sorry, brother.
Pastor Oleg would be on your prayers, please.
Pastor Oleg in Kherson. Well, Colby Barrett and A Faith Under Siege, thank you very much. God bless you, folks. Stay tuned to AFR. Tell somebody about American Family Radio, but tell everybody about Jesus. Blessings.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.